We are lucky enough to be joined by Leonard Campanello. He is the Gloucester, Mass. Police Chief we were talking about before, who has made news on a very different approach to individuals who are dealing with drugs. And a lot of this came out on his feeling that the war on drugs has been lost, okay? And part of what he offered up on Facebook is this. Any addict who walks in the police station with a reminder of their drug drug equipment, needles or drugs, and ask for help will not be charged. Instead, we will walk them through the system towards detox and recovery and send them to treatment on the spot. The police chief is good enough to join us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Why did you finally decide enough was enough?
Well, in our community, we have had 4 deaths in 3 months. We were on par to double from 2014, but we were having on overdose deaths. And the community responded with what they wanted their police department to do, which was come up with some new strategic ideas on how to address the problem.
What has been the feedback so far?
It's been really, really positive and kind of overwhelming. When we posted our original Facebook post about what we were going to do, it hit 2.5 million people in all 50 states and 61 countries. It spread from there, and it's all been pretty positive.
For the folks on the other side, and I happen to be on your side in this, but for the folks on the other side to say, you know what, it's the police chief, it is your responsibility to enforce the laws, not to reinterpret them. What do you say to that group?
Well, I think it's my responsibility to reflect the needs of the community and the wants of the community first and foremost. That's, you know, one of the basic founding edicts of policing is that we are the police and we are the people and the people are the police. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not really doing my job. And it's hard to argue with logic in this. We know that addiction is not a crime. It's a disease. We know that it's treatable, and we know that arresting people and watching them detox through the system and get right back out to the same life was not working. Now, we've seen a decrease in crime from this time period in 2014 to 2015 of 31% in our ancillary crimes that are due to drug addiction. We've seen a cost savings of over 75% in treatment versus addiction or facilitation to treatment versus addiction, and we've seen our death rate go down. I can't think of a criminal justice policy that I could have created that would have had those results in doing it the traditional way.
Did you have enough of the infrastructure set up for folks who needed this treatment to have people available to give them what either was available at the time or to then set it up?
So, you know, Massachusetts is lucky in the sense of we have almost a universal health care policy where if you don't have insurance coming in the door of our treatment center, you'll have it coming out. And in that case, you know, we do have the infrastructure in place that can handle these things. But we were developing, you know, the same mindset that there were no beds available anywhere and that there was no treatment available and that was there was an overwhelming of the system. And that simply wasn't true. And when law enforcement entered the equation,
Police chief, we lost you just for the last second there. I'm glad you're back here with us. Just a phone issue. Are there times, though, sir, where you're seeing people who are repeat offenders where they aren't seeking out the treatment and they are using this as a crutch to avoid facing the addiction and they're using this also to avoid the criminality of what they're doing?
Well, no, our program is designed that you have to present yourself to the police station. It's not designed that if we go out and find you and you say, oh, boy, I was just coming in to turn myself in. That doesn't work that way. You know, we know that there is no coercive atmosphere and no incentive that we can offer a person who suffers from this disease in order to stop. So when they're ready, they come to us. And these are people that we wouldn't be finding on the street anyway. But on the street, if there's a criminal activity, my officers have the same discretion they did before June 1st to take the same action necessary.
How big is your town?
We have about 29,000 people.
Do you think what you're doing could work as easily as, let's say, in Boston?
Well, let's put it this way. We have 64 police departments in 17 states now that have joined on in all or parts of this program or developed an initiative of their own. We don't believe that our particular program in Gloucester is necessarily the answer to every community's problems. But we do believe that law enforcement can enter the side of the equation on the demand side and make some changes to the way they do things to perpetuate what has been started up here.
What else would you like to see change on the law, on the punishment? Is the right balance struck at this point?
Well, you know, I think that, police and law enforcement don't make law. We enforce what's on the books, right? Or we interpret what the public wants. And in this particular case, we see a law that makes a substance illegal. But what that leads to is a disease. And so the balance there is, do we keep arresting people to not only the public's detriment, but their own detriment, or do we look for action? And so I think that the law should, or legislators should, reflect what the community yep. wants to see, and that is treatment for this disease.
Could you have ever envisioned that so many people and so many police departments where this would resonate, and as you pointed out, many police departments across this country would change their policies to match up with what you've offered up?
Of course not. I mean, we were responding to Gloucester's, Gloucester's community and what they wanted to see from their police department. I think it's a very logical path. I think it makes sense from a criminal justice standpoint, and we're happy that the solutions that we are coming up with here are being embraced. But we also feel very responsible for it as well, to make sure that, as many police departments as want to get involved have the information they need.
As you know, there's a significant election coming up right nearby there in New Hampshire. And obviously you have Democrats and Republicans who are making trips there. You're not too far away. Are you optimistic that folks at the elected level will look at some of these ideas and implement them, or are you maybe more of a realist and feel like too many of the politicians will feel like they are in a position where opponents will say you're too soft on drugs, you're too soft on crime, and that's the wrong image to send out to potential voters?
Well, law enforcement's job is not to enter politics, but I'll tell you that just as many Republicans' kids and family members die of this every year as Democrats' kids. So I think it's a bipartisan issue, and I think that the voting base, again, just as many kids from both sides of the fence are dying on this. So I think there can be a realist view that embraces, a more compassionate realization that this is, in fact, a disease, and in a lot of cases, it doesn't need to be dealt with the criminal justice system.
The chief of police, Gloucester, Mass., Leonard Campanella, is with us. Some pretty significant changes that he has offered up and a lot of positive feedback. I'm here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, the two biggest cities, but there are many suburbs, and this station has a big enough signal that there are people outstate who can hear us. If some of these police chiefs could just take one of your ideas, they wouldn't take maybe multiple, but just incorporated one idea, what should they do?
Listen to their community, develop a demand-based solution on that. We're not pretending that our model works for everybody. We do have many models available on the PARI website, which is the organization that was created to support law enforcement in this, which is the Police Assisted Addiction Recovery Initiative, PARIUSA.org. All the model policies for the different cities and towns that have adopted this approach are there, and they go from what we have in Gloucester to outreach programs to educational programs. So take a look at the demand side of the issue and see what you can be doing as a community.
Well, I'll finish with this because I know your time is short. In some of the bigger cities, when we say every community is different, let's use Chicago because Chicago is used an awful lot. There's too much crime. There's too many murders, an awful lot of drugs. Would most of what you're trying in Gloucester work in Chicago, or do you just not know enough about maybe the particular issues they are facing?
So we were down in Baltimore a few weeks ago, and they're adopting, you know, a program from Washington State called LEAD, which is very similar to the Gloucester program. It doesn't go as far. But, again, you know, yes, I think that every city and town, no matter the size, has the ability to have their police department add their voice to the legitimacy that this is a disease and not a crime, and that we can be making more strides on the demand side of the issue.
Chief, very interesting topic. I appreciate you coming on. We'll pay attention, maybe reach out to you again.
Right. Good to talk to you.
Leonard Campanello, Chief of Police, Gloucester, Mass. We'll react to this a little bit after traffic and weather because I'm curious to see what Kelly, Adam, and Jonathan think. And also, if you want to chime in, you can at any point, 81807. Traffic and weather when we come back.